Good afternoon and a very, very warm welcome to our service this afternoon. We are delighted to welcome George Barney, who is leading us in worship today. Thank you, George, for coming over. Norman and Elizabeth are with him. It's lovely to see you all again. Thank you for your service to us, and we look forward to seeing what God has laid in your heart for us. Thank you. George will also be preaching the 6 p.m. service in Glenelg this evening, so please, if you can, come over and join us for that. Just a couple of things to lead off with, a couple of intimations before I hand over to George. There will be a congregational meeting. Intimation is given of a congregational meeting to be held following the 12 noon service on Sunday the 10th of May, following a formal offer from the Glenelg Mountain Rescue. The Kirk Session and Finance Committee are seeking the approval of the congregation for the sale of the Glenelg Free Church site. So there will be a discussion, an opportunity for discussion, and we will move to making a decision at that meeting. So please remember and try to be there for that this next week, next Sunday. I also have been told by my wife that I cannot leave this one out. Please pay attention for the plant sale. There is a plant sale and afternoon tea on Saturday the 6th of May, and that's from 2 to 4 p.m. Sorry? That's what I said. I've got it on the recording, I'll check it. The 16th of May. Saturday the 16th of May from 2 to 4 p.m. in Glenelg Hall in aid of the Holiday Bible Club and the Youth Activity Week. Please come along and bring all your friends and stock up on your summer plants. So there you go. Intimation is given, due intimation. The other important one is that there will be a prayer meeting, the joint prayer meeting this Wednesday at 7:30 at the Chocolates of Glenshiel Cafe. Will be in place of our usual home groups, and all are invited to come along to that. So that's this Wednesday at the Chocolates of Glenshiel. Instead of our normal Bible study, we'll be having that time of prayer together. Just a couple of things before I hand over to George, just to praying for one another. We have these points in the bulletin every week. Please do be using them. It's such a blessing to be able to pray for our brothers and sisters this week. We're praying for the congregations in Dumfries and in Greenock, and for the Skaladale Youth Camp in the Western Isles. So please do take your bulletins home and be praying for our brothers and sisters across Scotland. And further afield, our Open Doors World Watch List country this week is Afghanistan. It is a tough place to be a Christian in Afghanistan. It's a place of extreme persecution for anyone who dares to follow Jesus Christ. There is brutal, oppressive rule of the Taliban, and Christians are likely to be beaten, tortured, and killed. Because most believers come from Islam, apostasy is considered punishable by death. So Christians are forced underground in fragmented and secret meetings. Despite that terrible risk, secret believers are holding on to their faith. It's such a challenge and a encouragement for us to see people who are facing such dire consequences, yet clinging to faith in Christ, because He is the only way. We who have no such restrictions on our belief can pray. So please do be praying for Christians in Afghanistan this week, and for the whole country indeed. George, thank you.
Well, good afternoon, and it's really nice to be with you here in Inverinet, and we're here to worship God. So I'm going to start the service by reading from just a few verses from 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves, just as He is pure. Amen. And let's sing together our first item of praise. Our first item of praise is coming from Psalm 19 in the Psalter. And if you've got the Psalter there, it's on page 223. Psalm 19. The heavens God's glory do declare, the skies his handworks preach. Day utter speech to day, and night to night doth knowledge teach. Let's stand if we can and sing to God's glory. Come together before God in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are our God, and you alone are our refuge and our strength. Lord, we would ask you today as we gather that we would be still and know without the shadow of a doubt that you are our God. Lord, how we thank you for the ability to just come and meet in absolute freedom. Lord, we already alluded to the fact that there are so many Christians today who would not be allowed to meet. Or if they meet, they have to meet in absolute secret, in fear of their lives. Lord, we thank you that your word tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of your hands, and day after day they pour forth speech. And Lord, as we sang that, we realize that there is much to be said about God even from creation. And Lord, we pray that many people who never enter a church or never give you a thought, even today in creation, would see that this is the hand of God. This is no Big Bang, but this is the work of Almighty God. And we pray that eyes would be opened and people would want to know more about who this God is. Lord, in nature we see so much, but yet it's in your word that we get to know just who you are. We get to know of your glory, of your majesty, of your compassion, of your care, and so much more. And Lord, as we read your word today, we do just pray that we would be helped to know more and more what our God is like, And either to be drawn to him if we've never been drawn before, to be drawn back if we've wandered, or to be drawn closer. Lord, we thank you for that gift of your Son. Lord, we are just amazed that you, our Father, that you were able to part with your Son for the very first time, and that you, Lord Jesus, were willing to come and to complete a task that no one else and nothing else could do. Lord, we do just want to thank you for churches all round the globe. And we thank you that perhaps yesterday in some places, and today, and maybe even into tomorrow, there'll be people all over the world worshipping the same God. Lord, we might not speak their language, but we're so glad that we have brothers and sisters all over the world. Lord, we think especially today of our brothers and sisters in Iran. Lord, we know that there's reckoned to be 500,000 Christians in Iran. And again, we've alluded to the fact that it's so hard because they've come out of other religions. And Lord, they can be ostracized. They can lose their jobs. They can be targeted. And Lord, we ask that you would protect them. Lord, we thank you for this church here in Inverinet and for the meeting in Glenelg tonight. And we do just pray for this whole area that more and more would come to hear about Jesus. Lord, how we thank you for the ministry of James, assisted by Claire, and we do just pray for their three wee ones as they grow up in this area. And Lord, we pray for this weekend when they're away seeing family. Lord, they would be rested and refreshed in every way, ready to come back and minister here in this area. Lord, we think of young people, and we think there's so many young people at the moment involved in exams, either from fourth year, fifth year, sixth year, or perhaps university and college exams. Lord, be with each one and help them every day. Lord, we ask too for the holiday club that's going to start in later on in the summer. And Lord, you would be preparing young ones. And you would help parents to book up for the holiday club so that their young ones can come. And Lord, for older ones, there are things like the Keswick Convention and so many other ways where people can go and hear your word. Lord, how we just pray for more and more to be refreshed in you. Lord, we want to remember our troubled world. And Lord, we would long for peace in the Middle East and in Iran. Lord, we are so glad to know that you are our God and you are sovereign. Some people may think they're in charge, but no, ultimately you are the one who is in charge. And how glad we are to know that, and to know that it's our God who is in charge of all that's going on. Lord, we do just want to remember situations that we're involved in. We realize there are people in the congregation who are going through a very difficult time at the moment. And Lord, that they might be conscious of your help in all that they're facing. And the help of this congregation in the way of a phone call or a card or a visit. Lord, we do just pray for them. And even though they're not able to come to church today, as they read your word, as they maybe listen to something online, that you would bless them. Lord, there are many things going on in each of our lives that perhaps nobody knows anything about. And we do just want to spend a moment bringing our prayers to you, just quietly coming before you in a moment of prayer, knowing that you are a God who hears and answers prayer. And how glad we are, Father, that these prayers don't just go up to the ceiling of this building, but they go to the throne room of heaven where they are heard, and that you will answer them according to your will. And in that confidence, we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing again, and we're going to sing the song Before the Throne of God Above. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. So let's stand and sing together to God's praise. We're going to read from God's Word, and we're reading in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and if you've got the church Bible, it's on page 267. Page 267. Daniel chapter 1. When I first became a Christian, I hadn't a clue about the Bible. And so when somebody said Daniel chapter 1, I had no idea what that would be. And I didn't really have the brain to look at the index and see. So I would be all through the Bible looking for Daniel chapter 1, and usually it was the evening service would have finished before I found it. So I always just spend a moment at the beginning giving people a chance to find Daniel chapter 1. And I also... It is 884, sorry about that, yes. Yes. I must have picked up the wrong Bible. Page 884, Daniel chapter 1. And I realize, is it also on the screen? It's not on the screen. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the other young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these 4 young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Amen, and may God bless his word to us. It's really nice to see so many young people here today. When I'm preparing to speak to the young people, I never quite know who's going to be here, and sometimes I don't even know if anyone's going to be here. So it's so nice to see you all here. And I'm going to start talking about journeys. I'm going to talk about journeys and see what you think. So, what's the average age? Could I ask, what age is that boy with the green T-shirt? What age is that boy? 4, right? 4. Is there anybody who's 8? Is 8? Are you 8? 9? 9, right? 9, yeah, good. Well, I was probably about that age, about 9, when I went on my first big trip. And what I want you to try and work out, I'm going to give you 3 guesses, so you have to get your hand up quickly if you want to answer. I'm going to give you 3 guesses to where was I going on this great big trip. Let me tell you where I was living at the time. This is always one of my nightmares, that everything falls on the ground and I have no idea where anything is. But yes, moving on. So where was I going? I was living in Glasgow, and we went on a journey, and it took 13 hours. It took 13 hours to get there. Now, and we went, yes, I'm not going to say any more than that. So, yeah, guess number one. And I prefer boys and girls. I know some of the adults, we have great ideas in their heads, but let's start with the boys and girls. So where was I going? Any guesses? Anybody want to put up their hand and guess? Or just shout it out? Anybody want to guess where I was going? Now, don't all guess at once because it's hard to choose. Yeah. France. Oh, that's a very good guess. France is a very good guess. No, I wasn't going to France. So, good. But thank you for guessing. Really good. Yes, it was a really good guess. I could have been going to France. Yes, because it took a very long time back in the day. And it was Austin? Austin. And Austin, you obviously realise I'm quite old, so it was a long time ago, you know, probably before they had transport. Yeah. You went in a donkey. No, you didn't at that point. So, where was I going? Who? Guess number two. Yeah. No, I'm guessing. That's a very good question. No, I was asked what was I travelling in. Yes, that kind of gives you a clue, doesn't it? No, I'm not going to answer that. Yes. Uh-huh. Not at the moment, I'll tell you at the end, but yes. Guess number two. Do you want guess number two? Edinburgh. Edinburgh from Glasgow. Right, okay. No. I know I'm quite old, but I mean, it wasn't quite that bad then. Good guess. Thanks for guessing. Who's going to go for the third guess? Maybe there's an adult who would like to have a guess. Here we go.
London,
another good guess. I was going to Wick in the north of Scotland. I was going to Wick. Now, what was I travelling in? I was travelling in an ancient car along ancient roads where most of the time you couldn't go more than 40 miles an hour. So that's where I was going. Now, There's a group of people who are going somewhere else, and I'm just going to read you one clue at a time and ask, where are they going? First of all, I'll tell you about the accommodation when they get there. The accommodation is fabulous, it's first class, and you couldn't get better. Oh, that's kind of my dream. You know, that's my dream. We don't often get it. From my wife's from Aberdeen, so there's a wee bit of a pressure on the money that's going into the holiday. So this is, I'll read that again. The accommodation is fabulous, first class, and you couldn't get better. Where do they, anybody want to see? This is a group of people, and where are they going? Yeah, yes, say that again.
Heaven.
Imagine, you are the first person ever who has got it the first clue. Well done. Yes, he deserves a round of applause. I'm just going to tell you a wee bit more about it. So that's heaven. It's a place where it's absolutely fabulous. There is no place that's better. When do we leave for heaven? When do we leave for heaven? Anybody can answer, even some of the adults. When do we leave for heaven?
Soon.
Soon. Soon. Yeah. And Jesus and the Bible often use the word soon, and it doesn't really mean maybe what we think of soon. Soon means before we get our coffee. But it's one of the things is we have to be ready to go at any time. We don't know the time. How do we get there? How do we get there?
Jesus.
Yes. It's having, because we love Jesus. When we love Jesus, he will be the one. He's like our passport. Or, you know how sometimes you go with a friend who wants to pay for your trip? I'm still looking for that kind of friend. And he is that person. And so that's how we're going. Do we need any JAGs, any injections? I remember going to Africa once, and I had to have really sore JAGs. And sometimes you could be ill for weeks. And I remember saying to the nurse, I was friendly with the nurse that was doing the JAG, and she said, George, this is for yellow fever, and it's a horrible one. You will feel it really bad in your arm, and also you'll be sick for 3 or 4 days. But don't worry about it. That is absolutely normal. So I said to her, I said, we were chatting away, and I said, oh, I said, could you do that JAG and get it over and done with? And she said, I did it 10 minutes ago. I never noticed the JAG, and I didn't get sick. And I didn't get yellow fever either. So that was a JAG. Do you need any JAGs there? No, there's somebody shaking their head there and saying, no, you don't need any JAGs. You don't need any JAGs because there'll be no more illness. There'll be no more death. All these things are finished with. Do you need any luggage? Oh, there's somebody else shaking their heads. No, you don't need a thing because everything is there. Now, just a wee story about luggage. Our daughter was, when she was a student, always looking for a job. And so she went down to the job centre one day just to ask, you know, anything going? And they said, are you happy enough going away from home? Mum, yeah. And so she went away from home and she went to serve people in a house near Fort William. And these people were billionaires. So, and these were people who didn't take luggage with them, because they had houses here, there, and everywhere. They didn't take luggage because everything they needed was in that house, and in that house, and in that house, and in this house. So they didn't need any luggage with them. They were as free as birds. And that's us. But the one thing that we do need is we need to know Jesus. We need to know Jesus as our very best friend. And then when we know Jesus, when the time comes, as it will come for everybody, when we're ready to go, that we will go and we will be with him and his Father forever. So that's something very much to look forward to. And thank you for all your answers that you gave me. That was really helpful. So we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing from Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and it's in Sing Psalms. And boys and girls, I hope you have a really good time at Sunday school. I think that boy wants to stay with us, doesn't he? Yeah, I think he wants to stay with us. But we'll see you at coffee time. So we're singing from Psalm 116 in the Psalter. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He listened when I cried to him for aid. I'll call on him as long as I shall live, because he turned to hear me when I prayed. Let's stand if we can and sing to God's glory. If you would like to turn back to Daniel chapter 1 with me. I don't know if you've ever lived in a foreign country for any length of time. I know many of us go on holiday to foreign countries to try and find a bit of sun. But I wonder if you've ever lived in a foreign country for any length of time. I think I know at least three people in this room who have, and there are probably more. Look forward to hearing more about that over coffee time. But you chose to go there, and you chose when you would be coming back. But the exiles, like Daniel and his three friends, had no choice whatsoever. And this disaster came about because of the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar. Or did it? Look at verses 1 and 2 with me. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These people are suffering and going into exile because of their disobedience and because their refusal to live God's way. This is the first of three deportations of the people of God into exile. But God's ultimate purpose in all of this was to win them back. And it may have taken a while to win them back. And sometimes we wander from the truth. We have become Christians, we're very keen, and then there's a time, for whatever reason, that we seem to go off the boil. I can speak about this quite freely because I maybe told you the last time I have done this, and I've gone off the boil for quite a while. And knowing I would go through the motions of going to church, going to prayer meetings, but knew that I wasn't terribly interested in God at all. Now, throughout the chapter, let's look for God at work. There is a hymn writer, a 19th century hymn writer called Frederick Faber. He wrote a hymn called, O Workman of God, O Lose Not Heart. I just want to read two verses from that hymn, which just remind us that God is at work. God hides himself so wondrously as though there were no God. He is least seen when all the powers of ill are most abroad. Thrice blessed is he to whom is given the instinct that can tell that God is on the field when he is most invisible. Three things to think about every time we come to God's Word. Whether we come on a Sunday, whether we come on our Bible study night, or whether we come in our own devotions during the day. Three things to think about. Firstly, what do we learn about God? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Secondly, what do we learn about the people that we're dealing with? What do we learn about the people in this chapter? And thirdly, what do we learn about ourselves? Because in many ways, the Bible is like a mirror. We're looking at, yes, it's thousands and thousands of years ago, but we're seeing things that happen today, as if though this was May 2026. Daniel's departure from his own homeland was in 605 BC. Babylon had been conquered. Jerusalem was under Nebuchadnezzar, who was the Hitler of the day. The Babylonians took precious articles from the temple of God and carried off men who were the brightest and best in Babylon, the creme de la creme. Young men in the best of health, stunningly good looking. Young men who in their own way would be the top, would get the top government positions, probably in the cabinet or something similar of the day. And Daniel and his three friends were among these. Now some of the older people might remember, or maybe there's maybe nobody here who's of that age, but some might remember hearing about conscription, that happened during Second World War and First World War, where men had to go into the forces unless they had a good reason. Well, this was far worse because these men had absolutely no choice. Now, it's reckoned that Daniel was about 15 or 16 when this happened, and he would stay there for his entire life because the exile was to last 70 years. Now, those of us here who are 70 and over, we can imagine a whole life in exile. Not just in another country, maybe quite a nice country, but where we didn't have our freedom. And this had all been prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah, way back in Jeremiah 25. And as I was saying before, God's punishment is always with the intention of bringing people back. Isn't it interesting that even today, in 2026, so many people find themselves displaced and in a country that they didn't expect to be living in? We just have to think about the Ukrainians who have moved to other countries because of what's going on in Ukraine. The Lord was no bystander in all of this. This was at the Lord's behest. The long-continued sin of the people of Judah led to this turbulent period of these people's lives. And Daniel and his three friends could have gone into despair at this, but instead they bloomed where they were planted. Despite the situation, Daniel knew that his God was sovereign. He knew that his God was in charge. And we must come to that conclusion ourselves as Christians, to realise God is sovereign. And whatever's going on in our lives, that God is in charge. And by the time we get to verse 4 of our reading today, we realise that Daniel has already departed. He's left his homeland and he will never return. Daniel's departure. And then on later on in the chapter, we're talking about Daniel's diet. Daniel chapter 1 is not endorsing a vegetarian diet. And it's not saying to us all that if we want to look good and if we want to be healthier than everyone else, then we eat vegetables and we drink water. It's amazing to think that Daniel and his friends were to eat the same diet as the king. What a tremendous offer that many of us would have felt we would go for. But Daniel and his friends realized that much of what they would be asked to eat would be forbidden by God's law. Probably the thing that would stand out most for us would be the pork, which was off the menu at that time. And at some point, Daniel and his three friends, as sons of the living God, had to take a stand. And this was the first stand that they took. They realised it was dangerous, not just for the four of them, but it was dangerous for the chief official, who, as he described it, he could lose his head over this, literally. And this is the first, as we know the story of Daniel, this is the first of many stands. And as Christians, we have to know where our red lines are. And we have to do this beforehand so that when situations arise, we know the red lines and we know where they are. It could be, who knows where we're going to end up in our lives, especially, well, we don't know at any age where we're going to end up living. There may be a job which takes us to other countries, and countries where our Lord Jesus is hated with a passion. So if we are followers of Jesus, we are ones to be targeted. There can be certain compromises that we make, but we've got to have our red lines. God says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, "Those who honour me, I will honour." And that's what happened to these men, these four, that after 10 days of being on their diet of vegetables and water, they looked far better than any of the young men. And this outcome will help them with all that they've got to face in the future when they take a stand. It's a good start, but the trials that Daniel and his three friends will face, they will get tougher and tougher. In verse 9, we realise that God is faithful to his promise when he says, "I will be with you." Our God changed the chief official's mind so that he was ready to take a chance and let them have this diet. So much for Daniel's diet. Then we go on to Daniel's devotion and his determination. We have to remember that Daniel and his three friends were chosen out of all the Israelites to go to Babylon. They were chosen because of their looks, they were chosen because of their intellect, and these were the reason they were chosen. Now, I don't know about you, but many of us will know in various circumstances throughout life, possibly at school or possibly at college or university, that you were chosen for a certain role. And perhaps it was the sports team. In the drama, you were chosen to be the Joseph in the Joseph production. Or at an interview, you were the one that was chosen. There was all these people there, but you were the one that was chosen. Why were you chosen? You were chosen because they saw ability in you that they didn't see in others. And they saw particular characteristics. Now, if we're Christians today, why have we been chosen? Is it anything to do with our ability? Is it because we're the best looking people on the planet? Is it because of our intellect? Why have we been chosen? The Bible is absolutely crystal clear that this is God's choice that we've been chosen. It's God's choice, and we've been chosen just because God decided, and it's all of his grace. These men were determined to be the best that they could be, and they faithfully served their earthly master, but they realized that essentially they were serving the Lord God himself. They were serving him in the way they served their master, with their determination. And then we look at our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church and the way that they are serving our Lord today. They are continuing to remain faithful in spite of all the threats that there are against their lives. But when we think about what they are going through, and maybe what you're going through, I have no idea what you're going through, nor have you any idea what I'm going through as a Christian. But sometimes, like people tomorrow morning, whether you're at work or school or college or wherever you are tomorrow morning, just wandering into the shops or whatever, they might say to you, "What did you do yesterday? How was your weekend?" And if you say to them, "Oh, church, morning and evening," and they might think, really? Is there nothing else to do at the weekend that you would go to church in an evening? So in some ways, that's part of the persecution that we face. It's the laughter and the think, why would anyone, especially maybe a young person, why would they be going to church? Why would they be going to church at your age? Is church not for older people? That's often what people are thinking. But that's about as much persecution as we are going through at the moment. Who knows? That can change. And we have to remember to pray for our brothers and sisters who are really going through the mill at the moment. But if we think of the worst of what our brothers and sisters go through, we think of what Jesus went through. And we go to Philippians chapter 2, and we look just about what Jesus went through. And it says this, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he, Jesus, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's what Jesus went through. And therefore, what we might have to go through as Christians is minor, very, very minor, compared to him. Daniel worked in an exalted position, but we are all in different places, and you might not think that your job or your role in life is particularly exalted, but it's being what Jesus asked us to be when he said, I want you to be salt and light, wherever you are and wherever you go. And that's everywhere. That's everywhere we go, either this afternoon, this evening, or tomorrow, or any time during the week, that we would be salt and light. We are his representatives. He calls us his ambassadors. We are there, out there on his behalf. And Daniel and his three friends were determined to honour their God even in a pagan land. Theirs was a lifelong desire to do what was right in God's eyes, and an excellent example for us to follow. Now, the Babylonians had a strategy to work on these men. And it was, firstly, change their lifestyle by changing their diet. Secondly, it was changing their loyalty by giving them Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar, meaning, may Bel protect his life, Bel being the chief god of the Babylonians. It was an attempt to integrate them seamlessly into Babylonian society. And thirdly, they would change their thinking by getting them to do a 3-year course of Babylonian arts and literature, language and literature, basically indoctrination. They had to be reminded that when God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am God and there is no other, that even if they were in a pagan place, they had to remember that these gods of these people were not gods at all in our God's eyes. Our God is God and there is no other. And this has to be our motto. So, in coming to a conclusion, the four men and many others of God's people were far from home, and they were in a foreign land. They were in a pagan land. They were in among people who were the enemies of God. And sadly, so many of our brothers and sisters are in the same position today in May 2026. And the fact is that they ended up in Babylon because of their disobedience to God. And yet, God was with them as he had promised in Exodus 3 to Moses when he said, I will be with you. And isn't that good for us to hang on to whatever situations we face in life as Christians, to know that God has said, I will be with you. Yes, they had new Babylonian names, but they knew who they really were. And if we are in Christ, we too, we know exactly who we are. Because if you're in Christ today, you are a new creation. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. I was in Germany a couple of years ago and visiting the man who had been our pastor when we lived in Germany. And we were in a restaurant. It happened to be my birthday, so they had taken me out for my birthday to this beautiful restaurant. And I said to them, do they know in this restaurant that they've got royalty with them today? Because usually there's the red carpet out when royalty is known to be around. You can imagine. And that's exactly who we are. We are royalty. We are sons and daughters of the living God. That is exactly who we are. And like Daniel, we as Christians are on our way to a new destination, Just as we were talking to the children about, we're on our way to a new destination. And we were just giving the children a glimpse, a glimpse of what it's going to be like. It's going to be perfect. There's going to be no more illness, no more suffering, no more death. And more than that, we will see our Saviour for the very first time, face to face. We've come to know him, we've come to love him, and yet we've never seen him. We only have seen him through the pages of the Bible. But then, one day, if we're his, we'll come to see him. Now, just as I finish, I want to just say that we are divided in this room, and to anyone listening, we are divided into three groups of people. And the three groups of people are people who have never come to a faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this church will be absolutely thrilled that you're here, if you're not a Christian, that you are here, and that you're here, many of you here, on a regular basis, and you're listening to God's word on a weekly basis. It's great. But then I want to just quote the words of Jesus to you, just two words. And Jesus is saying to you, follow me. The second group of people I was alluding to them before is people who have wandered. Now the wandering is sometimes it's very obvious, and people have wandered and they're never in church. And if you see them, they never want to talk about Jesus. And sometimes they don't particularly want you in their home because they realise that you are going to allude to Jesus in some way or other. Maybe not using Jesus' name, but you're going to say, oh, we were at church this week. And it makes them feel guilty. So they sometimes don't want to know. Or, as I was saying about my own situation, it was very subtle then. And what the scriptures are saying to you, what God is saying to you is, come back. And then the third group of people are people who are not in these two categories at all. And what we are facing, and often we are facing difficult situations. And you can face difficult situations at any age. Tricky situations that you maybe don't know how to handle. And you maybe thought Christian life was going to be a lot easier than this. But there's difficult situations. Sometimes there's illness. Sometimes there's illness in the family. Sometimes there are even harder situations to face. And our God wants to say to us, through the Apostle Paul, two words, stand firm. I think the last time I was here, I was talking about Winston Churchill, I think. And I just want to use Winston Churchill because it was just such a good way to finish this particular talk. Winston Churchill, one of his schools he was at was Harrow. And Harrow was at that time a boys' school. And I realised there are connections in the congregation with Harrow, and so they'll maybe know this better than I do, but Harrow was a boys' school and back in the day of Winston Churchill, and they would have speech day, which we would call in Scotland prize giving. And when they had the speech day, they would ask one of their former pupils to come back, former pupils who had achieved, whatever that might mean, but they had achieved, you know. Here's Winston Churchill became Prime Minister. Here is this one became the manager of the Bank of England, you know, and all the rest of it. So they would all have these people back. And for the boys, it was the most boring night of the year, but they all had to be there. And there was no yawning or anything like that allowed. They just had to sit through it. And it would be quite lengthy. And they would tell them about all their achievements. And when I was at school, you know, I never dreamt that I would be Prime Minister, blah, blah, blah. So they thought, And it's hard not to yawn through all of that. And even to yawn subtly. No, they weren't allowed to do that. So when Winston Churchill got up, they thought, oh, here we go. He said to them, boys, I only have 7 words to say to you. These are my 7 words. Never, 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 never give up. And that's what I want to leave you with. That if you're a Christian today, or if you're seeking to become a Christian, whatever happens, whatever life throws at us, never, never give up with our faith and with our Lord. Amen. We're going to finish our service today by singing the song, Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Naught be all else to me save that Thou art. Thou my best thought by day and by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Let's stand if we can and sing to God's glory. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us, now and forevermore. Amen.